Praise God. We want to ask Brother Chijoki to come and to break the bread of life with us this afternoon. I encourage you all to pay attention. If you were in an airplane and you were been sitting there for a while and all of a sudden you heard the alarm go off and the oxygen masks started dropping down from the ceiling, you would probably forget about that drink of water. You probably forget about the going to the bathroom, and you would be grabbing for that mask so that you could get the life air that you needed at the atmosphere that you were in or at. Praise the Lord. And I look at this body of people in somewhat a similar condition. And I believe that the word that God is bringing us is very much like that oxygen mask. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad to have this brother with us today. You know, I have tried for many different occasions to get him here to the United States. And it always never seemed to really work out. Praise the Lord. But I'm very glad that he is here today to share with us the burden of the word that is upon his heart. Amen. Brother Chijoki, please. God bless you, brother.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I was asking Brother Paul to lead us in that song that says, when the bridegroom comes at the midnight hour, we will be ready, Lord.
Amen.
No, I can't play that.
No, I know you can help
me. Yes, I was asking her to. I can't quite remember the words. We will be ready, Lord. We will be ready, Lord. When the bridegroom comes for his bride. Yes, when the cry is made at the midnight hour. Yes, that's it.
When the cry is made at the midnight hour, be ready, Lord.
No. Looking for his bride, we will be ready, Lord.
Souls with his oil at the midnight hour.
When the cry is made, behold, the bridegroom comes for his bride.
Yes, I will be.
Then we will be ready, Lord. We will be ready, Lord. When the bridegroom comes for his bride.
I will be ready, Lord. I will be ready, Lord.
When the bridegroom comes for his
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the opportunity to be counted worthy to come into your presence. Lord, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. The very precious blood of Jesus, that sacrifice that you gave to us. Lord, I want to say we do not take it lightly. For we are sick, bleeding and dying. And you reached down and you came to us right where we were.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we want to thank you for saving us. We want to thank you for all that you have done for us.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for the sweetness of brotherly fellowship, of the unity in the Spirit. Lord, we bless you because of what is this that is on your hand, and what and where you want to take your people to. Lord, we, as we sang in that song, at this midnight hour, when you come looking for your bride, it's our prayer and our cry that there will be oil in our lamps.
Yes,
not only in our lamps, but in our oil, in our vessels, and that we will be ready. We ask, O Lord, that you might cause your Spirit to flow, to come down to us, bring a fresh oil, bring a fresh anointing.
Oh, yes.
Do something new in our midst.
Hallelujah.
We ask, Lord, that you will touch us.
Yes.
Touch us one more time, O Lord.
Yes.
We need a touch of the Master.
Yes.
We need your touch, Lord. We need a refreshing from your presence. We need an empowerment. We ask, Lord, that you might sanctify our hearts. You might circumcise our ears. We come against every covering, every contrite spirit, every distraction. We ask, Lord, that your word, that which you have, will be bread to the eater and will be seed to the sower. Blessed be your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We ask that you might instruct us, you might teach us, that the man of God may be truly furnished. We receive your rebuke, your correction, your instruction, and the direction. Lord, we bless your name. Thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It's a very big opportunity for me to be here. You might not know how this is important, how important it is for me. I'm a bit emotional. I hope you mind if I cry. In Africa, old men don't cry. I'm not old. But I remember many years ago, I think it was either Brother Bot or Rapid, I don't know who it was. I think it was in the summer of, I think it was 86 or so. One of them saying, "We would like you to come to Mahomet." That was 1986. Amen. You know, and it does not be possible, you know, to come. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving us this brethren. and causing them to be such a blessing to us. Lord, just ask you might bless them. Thank you for causing them to be such a strength to us, to give us a direction and in the way we should go. Just bless your name, Lord. Say, he that watereth shall also be watered. We just ask, O Lord, that may bring fresh waters upon our souls. As the rivers will flow in the dry places, that you do something new, O Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Sorry, I'd like to read some scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm very sorry for taking your time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, 2 Corinthians 4:18. So while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The other scripture is in 1 Corinthians 16. Reading from verse 12. It says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Verse 13 is of interest. It says, meat for the belly, and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 6, 13. No, 6, 6. Verse 6, sorry. Verse 6, 13. Chapter 6, verse 13, sorry. 1 Corinthians 6, and then 13. It says, meat for the belly, and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Some of the thoughts that expressed may not be very palatable to us, but the thing is that the things that that are important to us are not important to God. Those of us who are married, we have our wives, and the wives have their husbands. God also needs a wife. So, as your wife is personal to you, that's how it is with God. You know, so the things that we do and that we are doing, church business, you know, for us it rubs off, you know, differently. You know, it's a good time to fellowship with brethren. If you don't have a car, God can buy a car for you. If you don't have a job, God can give you a job. If you have problems, God can sort it out for you. So scripture says, meat for the belly. and the belly for meat. The truth of the matter, you know, as Brother Paul said, he said, if only in this life we have hope, then we are of all men most miserable. And so of the things that I hear God saying really brings us to that point, that we are in danger of being labeled as a miserable people. Not because we don't really not because we intend to be miserable, but because of our perspective and attitude, you know, to life and to the things of God. In this scripture it says the body is for the Lord, and of course it says the Lord is for the body. You know, the God was saying to me, marriage is a privilege. It's a privilege. Amen. Because I'm giving to you my body to have fellowship with for some time. You know, but we take it for granted. You know, you take your husband for granted, you take your wife for granted. But God is saying, be very careful. Because that person is the Lord's body. And whatever you do to that person, you are doing to the Lord. And then you can also, you know, translate it to the fellowship, to brethren. As I said to Paul, you are kicking against the pricks. Now, the body was made by the Lord for himself. And I think the time has come for us to begin to come into the right perspective of what God is saying to his people and what he expects of us. He says that the things which are seen, the world we see around us, they are just temporary. The things that are real are the things which we are not even aware of. In April, while we were out traveling, I got a rude shock. I think I shared with the brethren in London, and we were talking about this afternoon. I got a text message, and God began to speak to me. In the text message, you have voice. In the text message, you have data. In the text message, you have visuals, you know, they call it multimedia. I didn't see the text message coming, but I was able to receive something. Voice, audio, and God said, the people of God that we have chosen to remain where we are. And while we are there, the world is becoming spiritual. You see, the world of ICT is based on spiritual principles. You know, we all use cell phones, but those wavelengths don't touch us. You know, you don't get hit by, you know, all those things, but they're all around. If you put a television set now, you'll probably hear Obama speaking, isn't it so? Now, those voices, those words, those pictures are all in this room. But you see, we as a people, it's very convenient for us to put that aside. We use it outside the church. But when it comes to the things of God, we switch off. Hallelujah. And those are the things that the devil is using to attack us. And we have lost our children. Okay, maybe let me put it this way. We are losing our children. And God said to me, you are telling cock and bull stories. You are telling children, don't steal. Sit down at home. They see fun, activity on the internet. It's, you know, when they think of the internet, they're excited. when you think of the things of God, they say, oh, it's so dull. You know, it's mommy's church, it's daddy's church. They come with you. But while they're in church, they are, you know, somewhere, they're in the parties, they're on the internet, they are actually opening their computer. They're sitting there in church, but they are working at home. Some of us who are here now, we are probably cooking at home. We are probably doing dishes at home. We are planning what we're going to do after the cup meeting. The truth of the matter is that the church is disconnected with God or from God. The church is disconnected from the reality of the time. And because of that, many are sick. I'm very sorry, but I have to say, many are sick and some are falling asleep. Some have fallen asleep. And God is saying, we need to wake up. So I'm going to ask you to forgive me. I'm a bit direct. So the brethren know that I can be direct. Amen. Just pray for me. I don't really mean any harm. It's just that I have heard some things and it's my responsibility to tell you. So the things I need to even sit down and listen to them, because it's more for me than probably for you. So I have issues. I'm really not there at all. But while I was in London last year, God began to speak to me. God was speaking about the end time church. And God was saying that the end time church are confused. We have two lives. Okay, not really two lives. God said, it's either you are hot or you are cold. But the end time church has chosen to be hot and cold. And God said, people who are hot and cold, you are actually cold. The Bible says, it's either you are darkness or you are light. The end time church has chosen to be both, to stand in the middle. And if you are a little bit dark, it's still darkness. If it's not light, then you are not light. Well, he was talking about Elijah. He told the people, say, why halt ye between two opinions? So we are in a place where we want to go forward, but at the same time, we really want to stay where we are. That is, we want the things of the world. We love the world. I love the world. I don't know about you. But God is showing me something. I'm seeing pictures. I'm hearing voices. I'm receiving data. I'm seeing visions from God. And I also want that. And God said, you can't have both. And as I look around, I see that my brethren are right in the same position as I have found myself. That is, we want to go forward and we also want to go back at the same time. So we find that we are a people that are between and betwixt. That we have come out of the outer court, but the outer court is not the destination. There is a destination. And for that destination, we are not ready. Now, God used a very hard word for me. He said, you are a Sadducee. God told me I'm a Sadducee. Well, the Pharisees believe that there are spirits and that there is resurrection. Now, the Sadducees they don't believe any of them. They don't believe in the resurrection, and they're afraid of spirits. And God told me that I am a Sadducee. Well, I preach resurrection, I believe it. But the thing is that belief is in my heart. Sorry, it's in my head. And God said to me, if you believe resurrection, then you'll be ready to change. Amen. The man that believes resurrection is a man that is ready to change. His life, he's ready to change, to lose his life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God said to me, you are not ready. And in fact, not just me, he included you too. He said, the end time church, we are not ready to change. Hallelujah. So we've come out of the outer court, and you know, we've got into the veil and we have turned back. You know, so Elijah had issues. He said, "Why halt ye between two opinions?" But that's really not what I heard. What I heard, God said, there is the sound of the abundance of rain. That was what God said. He said, rain is coming. There is visitation that is coming. But the truth of the matter is that not everyone will be part of that visitation. There is a qualification. And there is a measurement. Hallelujah. And I want to talk about what the Lord has. And since then, that word, God has been speaking. And I can testify that there is a visitation of God that's coming. If you read, looking at Elijah's story, one of the things he had to do was to rebuild the altar. The altar was broken down. And one of the basic things he had to do was to rebuild the altar. And when he rebuilt the altar, the fire came down. And then the rain also came. We're in the time of midnight. And you better believe this. It's going to get worse. Of course, people say, well, we always say it's going to get worse. It's worse this year than last year. Yeah. The months ahead are going to be dark days. I'm not trying to frighten you. But the reality is that dark days are ahead. Right. But the end time church is not aware of that. Because if we were aware that there is going to be destruction, then this will be a war conference. This will be a war conference. It will be a boot camp. It will be learning principles of warfare, principles of survival, principles of understanding the strategies of the enemy, principles of being ahead. And, you know, be in a position where we will not just be defensive, but we will be offensive. We'll be the ones, you know, say that the gates of hell will not.
That's right.
But have you ever wondered, where are the gates of hell? The gates of hell are in that cell phone you have. And in the mind. And in the emotions. And your desires, then your will. Those are the gates of hell. Hallelujah. And I want to talk a little bit about in that dimension. But I still spoke so much about it. I hear some of the brethren are talking about some of the old tapes. Yes, because at that time he laid a lot of emphasis on some of those basics. But you know, we have a way of growing out of the presence of, you know, out of the heavy things. You know, so with time we've gotten used to some of those things, and then we've gone on to more familiar and more comfortable grounds. And then the foundations, you know, we'll find that we have lost. Yes. Hallelujah. I want us to look at the scripture. Hebrews 6. Some of the things I want to talk about are very basic things. I'm sure you know them. I just want to talk about them. Hebrews 6 talks about the foundational doctrines of Christ. I want to look at the second one. What he calls the laying on of hands. See, Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. It's important to come to these basics because of the more serious issues that are built on these basics. Someone said, you don't live in a foundation. You live in a house that has a foundation. But they say, if the foundations are removed, then the house cannot stand. So if we are going to war, then we have to check our foundations. And then we have to make sure that the house, you know, we can make adjustments. So I really want to encourage us to be ready to make adjustments. Hallelujah. Because there are adjustments to make. Now, I'm looking at laying on of hands. And I'm looking at coverings. The principle of coverings. Hands, well, we speak of ministry, I'm sure we all know that. But in a much more important dimension, we're looking at the coverings that are over us. More importantly, the coverings over the soul of man. Hallelujah. So I'll take us to another scripture. Second Samuel chapter 22. Second Samuel 22. You have to be ready that we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. When I get less nervous, I'll move faster. It's not easy to minister to those who administer to you. Those who brought you up. Amen. Hebrews 6. Sorry, 2 Samuel 22, verse 6. Please, can you click on the interlinear?
It's on the other side.
Okay, on this side. Okay, great. I study a lot of Hebrew and Latin because they bring the depth of the word. So I want us to do some word study. Now, verse 6 says, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. So now, when you look at that scripture ordinarily, it's a casual scripture. Okay, but let's go a little bit. Now, can you touch on that word, the Greek word? Yes, that, touch on it. Remove this. No. Okay, fine. Now, the word translated sorrow means rope. Yes. The word translated as the sorrows of hell means rope. Or cord. A measuring line. A band. A region. Company. America, Nigeria, Kenya, destruction, Mohammed, region. Hallelujah. Now, we have impression that hell is very far away. You know, when I die, I'll go to heaven very far away. Then those who are unbelievers, when they die, they'll go to hell also very, very far away. Now, that's a lie of the devil. And that is why we are Sadducees. That's why we don't want to change. Because it's very comfortable. Hallelujah. But that is the opposite of the reality. So can you put back the scripture? Don't remove this. Open Bible. Okay. All right, great. Now it says the ropes of hell compassed me about. Now, the word Shaul means Sheol. Now, it means the regions of the dead. Okay, but that is a very polite way of putting it. You can say, Brassens would have said, is the region of disembodied spirits. Okay, I see you can accept that. Now, if you accept that it means the realm of disembodied spirits, then that becomes very wide. Hallelujah. But I will even make it wider. I will say it is a realm in which rebellious spirits dwell. Every rebellious spirit, that is where God in his mercy will allow them to be. Because they cannot take in the kingdom of God. They cannot dwell in light. So God will allow them to go and dwell in that realm of darkness, lawlessness, wickedness, destruction, ruin, disease, sickness. Now, these things I've mentioned, are they around us?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, to move faster, the scripture says, thou hast delivered me from the lowest hell. Is that in the scriptures?
Yes.
Is that in the scriptures?
Yes.
Thou hast delivered me from the lowest hell. Meaning that there is also a highest hell. That's English language, isn't it so? Am I still in order? Okay, very good. Of course, I have to be in order because there is the lowest heaven and then highest heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we have the outer court, yes, the holy place, and the holiest of all. Hallelujah. Now, Paul says that we are seated with Christ where? Okay. So you are the ones that are preaching now. So if you are seated in Christ in heavenly places, it's also possible for you to be seated in hellish places. Yes. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, when a man is born, he's born into hell. He's born into a realm of hell, but the lowest hell. Hallelujah. So, now, when the Bible talks about the outer court, what the outer court really is a reception in which those who are being delivered from hell, that is the first place they come to. Hallelujah. So, the outer court is the closest dimension of heaven that is in communion with hell, with the lowest hell. Hallelujah. In other words, when it is 6 p.m., or well, in Africa, if it's 6 p.m., here maybe around 8 or 9 p.m., there is something that must happen. Darkness begins to come and overtake the outer court. Now, the scripture says that hell has enlarged its borders.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hell is enlarging its borders.
Yes.
And it's swallowing.
Yes. Come on.
Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm looking at something. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I'm just trying to establish some of the principles, then we can move a bit forward. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, 26 says, "Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thy Holy One to see corruption."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's read down a bit to verse 30 and 31. It says, "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ." That is, he's trying to explain what the resurrection of Christ is. That is, "His soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption." Resurrection is not resurrection if it does not affect the soul. If it, and when we say soul, it's very far. You know, you can't relate to soul. When it does not affect my manner of thinking, when it does not affect my response, when someone matches on me, steps on me, says something evil about me, hallelujah, resurrection begins to speak.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Come on.
Now, Christ in his soul had to go that he might deliver. Say, he went to the lowest end, he went down. Hallelujah. He partook of that nature that he might bring deliverance to us.
Hallelujah.
The resurrection speaks of a change that must come in the realm of the soul.
Yes. Yes.
Now, if we accept that, then we can make progress. Resurrection means change.
Amen.
And that change must be progressive.
Amen.
Now, if I am where I was 1 month ago, or a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, that means there's a problem. And that's why God says we are Sadducees. Because if we really believe resurrection, then we should be a people that are changing. And we should be changing from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Now, if we take that, then it will be safe to say that Adam fell in three dimensions. The fall of Adam, the death of Adam, was in three dimensions. Therefore, the salvation of man will also be in three dimensions. In other words, the resurrection, the manifestation of resurrection, the experience of resurrection has to be in three dimensions.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, when God was speaking to me, I always ask questions. Now, the Bible says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light,
amen,
where is our fellowship?
Yes.
In light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Adam walked in a realm of light. Hallelujah. Adam walked in a realm of light. Adam did not need cotton like me. He didn't need to eat food. He didn't need to do some of the things that we have to do. Okay, today they say I'm a doctor, and I have to do this and that. Now, those are the result of an event. It is a distraction. It is not the real issue.
Amen.
That's why I say meat for the belly and the belly for meat. Now, if my vision is that I'll be a good wife, have children, drive cars around, pick them from school, draw them from school, they go to university, come out, they marry, I become a grandmother, that's a miserable life. Okay, and they say I'm a doctor. Every day I go to, I do this, read this. Now they say that he's a professor, he's this. At the end of the day, I walked into the university senate and I saw old men that are professors. So I said, God, so you mean in the next 20 years I'll be like them? I said, that's not the way I'm going to go.
Amen.
I told God, I said, that's not where I'm going to go to. Hallelujah. Brethren, if our goal is good life, peace and prosperity, tranquility. America has a good president. Nigeria, we are doing well. You know, we have roads, we have, Africa is progressing and developing and all that. That's a miserable life. Hallelujah. So, I mean, even if you're talking about politics and development, international trade, international relations, and the space program, all that has nothing to do with the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them.
Hallelujah.
And if I may tease you a bit, he said that God is the one that dwelleth where? Between the wings of the cherubim. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a standard. If we don't meet that standard, then we don't qualify.
That's right.
God dwells between the wings of the cherubim. Uh-huh. There is a nature we must have in our soul.
That's right.
Now, the devil can get you running all over the place, making money, having a good time. For the young people, I have a lot of burden for them. I have 4 young people in my house, and I have to contend with them. Because the young people are distracted by computers, by cell phones, iPod, iPad 4, iPad 5 is coming, and before that one comes, iPad 6 will come. We are not addressing the matter of the soul. You say we are not of them that drop back unto perdition, but of those who go on to the saving of the soul.
Yeah.
Now, how can the soul be saved from the courts of hell when there is no definite action being taken to deliver the soul?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has a program to save the soul.
Yes.
If I want to go to Bloomington, there's a road to Bloomington.
Yes.
If I get onto another road to Farmer City or somewhere, I'm not going to get there.
Right.
The truth of the matter is that the church is heading the wrong direction.
That's right.
And we will never get to the point of the salvation of the soul. So we as a people, we have to decide, where are we headed?
Yes.
The eldership must decide. The brethren must decide. Now, why I know there's a problem? Because we are not talking about, it's not a burden. Okay, we just say it because, well, it made an impact in our lives, but it's not a matter of life and death. And because God knows that it's not a matter of life and death, it's really not bothering us. It's He can't give us all the things that He would normally have given to us. Because it is not our heartbeat. But I believe that there is a time of visitation that's coming to us as a people. So here he says that the resurrection of Christ was that he was not going to leave his soul in hell. Hallelujah. He was not going to leave him in that realm and the things that bind him, that have kept him in that situation. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, because I know I don't have all the time. 2 Corinthians 3 says, Moses, it was all about Moses and the law. It says, whenever the law is read, that a veil is over their hearts. But he said that when you shall turn to the Lord, that the veil will be taken away. Now, I'll give you another scripture. The Bible said that in Matthew 27, when it was midnight, said that he gave up the ghost. And what happened in the temple? Brethren, it is possible to be an Old Testament Christian in the dispensation of the new. I don't know if you understand. There's a man called Isaiah. He was a New Testament Christian in the dispensation of the old.
Amen.
He lived ahead of his time. But you, at this time, you can also operate in the time of the old, when you ought to be operating under the laws and principles of the New Testament. Now, there's a hallmark of the new, and that is that the veil must be broken. If the veil is not broken, then it is the old. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, you don't agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. The difference between the old and the new, put in summary, is that the veil has been removed. And we see that in the tabernacle of David, is it not so? He said, this is the tabernacle of David that's fallen down, that I'm going to restore it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But David had this tabernacle in the Old Testament. In other words, even though he was living in that dispensation, he was partaking of an experience that actually belonged to a time that was yet to come, as a prophetic declaration that it is possible to walk in it. Hallelujah. So, yes, we talk about the tabernacle, altar called holy place and all that. You know, you talk about the veil. That is true. But in reality, what does Hebrews say? Having therefore what? Boldness.
Yeah.
To do what? To enter where? Into the holiest. By the blood of the Lamb. So that he has made a new and living way, what? Into where? The holiest of all. Now, if in your mind you are thinking that the holiest of all is something that you will enter in 2015, but that is our attitude, that is a great error. Some are entering in. And I'm determined to be part of that company that are entering in. God is calling us to enter in.
Amen.
Not tomorrow, but now. Hallelujah. Why? Because the veil has been broken. The problem, I know, is that we have not broken through our own veils. There are two different things. Christ broke through his own veil as an example that we also must break through our own veils. So if you are here playing religion, dancing around, this is beyond that. It is a matter of breaking through the veil. You are not a New Testament Christian until you have broken through. Okay, that's a bit hard. Oh, that's a sweeping statement. Hallelujah. Well, I will see you in a minute. I went to Israel. I was telling Brother Abbott, I went to the Temple Mount twice. I was there on Yom Kippur. That is October 10. I was there. I was at the temple. And I was observing them. I went back again on the Wednesday before I left. Jesus was not a Levite. Was not. Is not a Levite. Hallelujah. Now, you are not a Levite except you are the son of Levi. The priests were those who were sons. Those who were from that tribe, okay, could minister. But those who were priests had to be sons of Aaron. And Jesus did not enter the holy place. He couldn't enter the holy place because his own priesthood was not according to that Old Testament order. Yes. Hallelujah. So he didn't bother, he didn't struggle to enter in. Hallelujah. He says that I will make you a priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, so the end time people, according to God, God said we are confused. We don't know what priesthood to follow. Are we following Aaron or are we following Christ?
Hallelujah.
Now, to break it down a bit, in John chapter 2, without Jesus did not wait for long. Right from the beginning, he told them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And he said he spoke of the temple of his body. So he, right from John chapter 2, he was already declaring that there is something new that he was bringing. The temple and the priesthood and whatever he's doing was something new. Different from what had been in the old. Hallelujah. So in the church today, we have a mixture in our minds and in our practice. And I'm very sorry, in our structures in the church. Hallelujah. And God has been saying to me that he has tolerated it for some time. It's something that he has allowed. This mixture has gone on for long. And God is saying, I will no longer support it. Hallelujah. So if you have Old Testament structures in your fellowship, you are going to have trouble in the flesh. Hallelujah. Okay, I say that again. If we have, as I know in my fellowship we have, and as I look around I see things, we are going to have trouble in the flesh. Because the economy of God will no longer sustain that. It's a wastage to him. Hallelujah. I mean, why would you spend your money supporting something that is of no use to you? Hallelujah. Who is God's temple? Hallelujah. Okay, can I ask another question? Who is the priest under this new dispensation? When you say we, it doesn't really, you really know. Sorry, I'm a teacher, you know. I teach you this, so. So just don't mind me. I like to zero in. So who is the priest in this new dispensation? I'm hearing Christ. That is where I'm off us. It doesn't really tell you anything. Who is the priest in the New Testament? When you say we, what does we mean? Yes? Okay, I'm the priest here. Okay, let me ask you a question. Is it my leg that is the priest? Is it my leg or my hands that is the priest? Which part of me is the priest? Our mind. But when we come to fellowship, we leave our minds at home. The priest is at home and the carcass is in church. The priest is watching a ball game in New York. But his body is here. The emotions will quarrel with our emotions. He says that do not, he said if an animal has been taught by a wild beast, don't bring it as an offering. Is it not so? I will come with emotions that are battered and quarreling and tearing one another, and then we are bringing that as an offering. It's not going to go anywhere. So the structures that we have cannot sustain us in this midnight.
Amen.
And the devil knows that, and as he's confident, he's going to beat us. If we put our act in order, the devil will not stand 1 hour.
Amen.
He will not. Because there's so much power that we have. So it says that a man, say the Isaiah scripture says a man he was armed for war, but on the day of battle he was weak. We have been armed for war, We know what to do, but we can't function because our structures, our practices, our attitudes, the things that we do are outdated, outmoded, old-fashioned. Hallelujah. So God is asking for repentance. We have to dismantle the structures. God asked me a question. He said, what is Babylon? What is Babylon? When you leave Assemblies of God Church, then you come to Muhammad. Assemblies of God is now Babylon. Is it not so?
Yeah.
When you leave Southern Baptist, First Southern Baptist Church, Alabama, and then you come to Muhammad, you have left Babylon. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Well, there was a time that was acceptable. Is it not so? It was acceptable at the time, but not anymore. Hallelujah. The definition of Babylon has changed. Oh, okay, not really changed, it has progressed. What will now be the new definition? Revelation 18. Can we read?
Yeah.
Revelation 18. Revelation 18, verse 2 and 3. It says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. I won't even go on further. That's Babylon. Babylon is your soul and my soul. When it is a habitation of spirits, that is Babylon. Hallelujah. Babylon is not a geographical location. It is the state of my heart. Hallelujah. It is what the kind of spirits that are dwelling in your heart that determine if your heart is Babylon or not. Hallelujah. And when I asked God, he showed me a scripture. It is really frightening. So that when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, hallelujah. I'm hearing very little hallelujahs, yeah? Amen. When an evil spirit is gone out of a man, let's not even talk about the man. We'll come back to it. See, it goes around dry places. He used a very impudent word. He says, and when he finds no rest, what does he say? I will go back to my house. I say, God, can you imagine you being the house? God says, the soul is the home of idols. The soul is the home of idols. As I said it, the idol you see is a manifestation of what is in the man's heart, isn't it so? He takes a lump of clay and he shapes it. He's expressing what is within him. It's a reflection of what. He said that they took the things and they created them. They work according to their vain imagination, isn't it so? Hallelujah. So God is saying we have to change our operations, our understanding. And he's saying, come out of Babylon. It's a word I'm hearing again, brethren. It's a word we need to go back again. Hallelujah. I think we are too many. Maybe when, if that word comes again, then we can tune down a bit. Hallelujah. What do we really want? Do we want the salvation of the soul? Or we want blessings. Hallelujah. The soul is a captive of spirits. When Adam fell, he came into the realm of rebellious spirits. That's what Psalm 18 says.
Yeah.
Say that the dogs, is it not so? That they have taken hold of my soul. You say, oh Lord, deliver my darling from the snare of the dogs. Hallelujah. When a man is born, his soul is born into the realm of darkness. Hallelujah. and that soul must be saved, must be brought out. But if you bring the soul out without changing the nature of the soul, then you haven't really done anything. Therefore, he said, I will make a new covenant, and I will put my law in the inward parts. I will change them from within. Hallelujah. I was walking on the street about a month ago. I had to go and buy a small notebook, because sometimes when I'm in the tube or train, I begin to get some words, so I try to write them so that I don't forget. And God said, my kingdom is within you.
Yeah.
The kingdoms that are outside, God is limited in what he can do now. I know that would be, you may not agree with that. But when Jesus was going to cast out those spirits, what did they say to him? Have you come to do this before the time? The world is going to go down. Wickedness is going to increase. God intervenes when the wickedness is very bad. He has to cut it short. But this is the hour of darkness, given and authorized to the devil, because he says he's the king of this world. It's not to say that we don't have a responsibility. We do. But you see, how can you bind a spirit you submit to? How can you bind the spirit that you submit to? So, we are born into the kingdom of the devil. Hallelujah. We come under the cords, the regions, the nations, the tribes, you know, the division, the different, he uses different machinations. Some of us are caught by, you know, one fancy or the other. You know, he comes differently. And all he does is to bind the people. But God has his own way of bringing deliverance. And what does he do? To go into the heart. So he says, my kingdom, my dominion is within you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So if God comes to a man and that man accepts him, then God goes in and begins to build his kingdom. But that man must come out of the outward kingdom.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So you are in the world, but you're not off the world. Hallelujah. So because we are in a territory of whose domain we are not, we must give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and then give to God the things that are God. When there's a conflict, then it's very clear who is going to have dominion. We will have dominion to the nation of which we are. Hallelujah. So God is saying, we must understand what he is doing. The world has to go dark, because midnight, the darkness must come to the full. If darkness does not come to the full, God cannot judge it. But what God is doing is that as darkness is going to the full, his work within his people is also coming to the full. And as the people of God begin to rise, at the point of midnight, that light in the people will be released, and that is what is going to bring a judgment and a check to the dominion of darkness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, we saw that in Egypt, isn't it also?
Yeah.
Pharaoh, if you know what Pharaoh was, you can look at the history, read all the things about it. I mean, these guys, I mean, the things you see now, we are no match.
Right.
Pharaoh ruled greater domains. Can you imagine Greece going bankrupt that once ruled the world?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And God brought Egypt to its knees.
Yeah.
God broke the spine of Egypt.
Right.
Hallelujah. They were completely devastated. If we had a second earthquake in Japan, it would have been bankrupt. If there was a second earthquake the week after, Japan would have gone under. Hallelujah. So you see that God is not really interested in those dominions. He is interested in the kingdom that is within us. But the people of God, we are still sleeping. Hallelujah. So what we are saying, brethren, is that there is something that God is doing. There is a new kingdom. There is a new testament. There is a new priesthood that is coming forth. And God is asking his people to come into the holiest of all. We must leave this realm, you know, this experience that we have known. The Pentecostal system, really, is a temporary situation. It's a temporary arrangement. It's a second feast. There is a real feast, which is part of what I'm still going around and trying to introduce. Hallelujah. But let me quickly try to get to the meat of where I'm going to. Now, I'm concerned with the change. This change that is to take place in the soul. How is it going to be? How will it work? How will it function? Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, the best way to I can explain is to say, now when God made Adam, he said, let us make man in our own image and what? Likeness. The question is, what is the image and likeness of God? What is the image and likeness of God? God is light. Hallelujah. And in him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When God made the soul, he did not make the soul to be independent of the spirit. The heavens water the earth. Hallelujah. Okay, there's no amen for that. Hallelujah. The heavens water the earth. The earth cannot function without that which comes from the heavens. Hallelujah. So when God made Adam, he made him in a certain nature. Hallelujah. God did not make the soul to function the way it is now functioning. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So in our own image, in his own likeness. Now, if you look at Ezekiel chapter 1, it gives us some indication as to what this change will be. You can summarize it that he showed the four creatures. He said it was the nature, they had the nature of light. Now, if you go to Proverbs 27, it says that the spirit of man is what? Is the candle, okay, or the lamp. Giving light is a candle of the Lord, lamp of the Lord, giving light to the inward part of the belly, of the soul. Hallelujah. But you see, to understand that, you really need to go back to Genesis. Now, what was it that happened in Genesis? The Bible says God took a lump of clay. Hallelujah. Which is earth. Earth. The ground, you know, Adam. And then that he breathed into it. There was a breath that came from God. And where the earth, sorry, you know, I'm a little bit too old now. I can't learn some of the phonetics. So just be patient with me. And then I'm really trying to make sure. Yeah, I think I'm doing great. Thank you. So where the earth met with the heaven, a new reality came into being. And that is you. Hallelujah. The soul of man has two natures. Heavenly.
Yes.
And earthly. Hallelujah. In fact, the word translated breath. There are two types of breath. There is animate breath. And what the Bible people call inanimate breath. The air is inanimate breath. It is this air, this breath that you see that gives life to the plants and all that it gives life, it waters it and causes it to grow. Hallelujah. But there is the breath of God that is within us. or even take it, that goes into the animals. Animals also have soul, but a lower dimension of soul. In fact, there are three dimensions of soul, of the soul. The first one is that which you find among beasts, which the Greeks would call physicals. Now, the second one is what you call living soul, isn't it also? But there's the real one. The real one is pneumaticals, the spiritual soul. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 says something. He says, if we have borne the image of the earth, that earth means suki, that is the first realm and dimension of soul. He says, so must we also bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. So there are two types of dimension of spiritual, of soulishness. The first level and then the second level. And Brad says, we say, the Adamic man is in hell, but Adam is in heaven. Do you understand that? The Adamic man is in hell and is going to hell, but Adam, his brother, is in heaven. Hallelujah. The purpose of the gospel, brethren, is to cause us to change. It's to bring about a change in the nature of our soul. Hallelujah. Now, this natural soul dwells at the carnal level. It feeds on the things, on carnal things. But the real soul does not receive life but from the Spirit. It feeds on the light of God. It feeds on the energy of God. Some of us, what gives us energy is when we watch a football match. Some of us, what gives us energy is when we hurt someone. When we speak evil against someone, we're actually feeding on darkness. That is a low dimension of soul. That's what Brad says we call low patch, isn't it so? He says low patch. Low bite. And for a long time, we have specialized on low bite. Hallelujah. And God saying that if we have borne the image of the first Adam, we must also bear the image of the second Adam. Now, God explained it to me in a way. He said, man is a spectrum. Protos Adam, that is the first Adam, and eschatos Adam, that is the last Adam. In between, you determine where you will reach. So it says, one star will differ from another star in glory. Hallelujah. The end time church is being put on the spot. We are on the spot. Which kind of nature do we want? Is that the lower nature or the nature of Christ? Now, the nature of Christ is a nature that is fed, nourished, directed by the Spirit. Now, if those living creatures, he said that they will not move except by the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of God will go, they will go. When it will lift up, they will lift up. When they will go this way, they will go this way. Hallelujah. So Hebrews says, will tell us that we must walk by the Spirit. But you see, now where we are is no longer a matter of opinion or suggestion. It's a matter of life and death. The sons of God are those that are led, nourished, and, encouraged to walk in the realm of the Spirit. Yes. Now, when the soul of man fell, he didn't have access to the life of God. Hallelujah. And because he didn't have access to the life of God, what could he do? It began to function independently of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Adam actually took part in the coup.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Adam took part in the coup.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a coup. There was a rebellion in heaven. Yeah. And Adam was part of it. You see, you'll be as gods.
Yeah.
Brethren, the issue God has with the end time church is the issue of self.
Yeah.
Self. That's the issue. Self. You can pray from today till the end of December. If we do not to address the matter of self, then we cannot measure up.
Right.
Self is the greatest threat to God, and it must be laid down before God. Hallelujah. So Paul says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith. Now, God is not going to entrust you into this new priesthood until he is ensured, until he is satisfied that you will no longer partake in another coup.
Amen.
I don't know if you got that. God will not bring you into this new dimension of priesthood until he is sure and until he is secured in his mind that you will not partake in another insurrection. Because self is a God. So he as God, seated in the temple of God. Where is the temple of God? Yeah. Seated in the temple of God. Showing himself as God. Brethren, that is the problem I have. Hallelujah. And God says, we must deal with that matter. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we all with an open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed by what? By the Spirit of the Lord. Now, how can you be changed by a spirit you resist? Hallelujah. We cannot be changed by a spirit we are resisting. So if we resist the Spirit, if we quench the Spirit, then we will be unchanged. Hallelujah. Then we will be rejected. And God will choose another. Hallelujah. Now, in the Old Testament, Aaron had to be consecrated.
Yeah.
Did you see Aaron automatically begin to function in priesthood? He had to be washed. He had to be dedicated. He had to be consecrated. And above that, he had to put oil. Brethren, there must be the oiling, the anointing of our souls.
Yeah.
Our mind must be anointed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, how will it be anointed if we are not walking in that process? There must be a consecration of the soul.
Amen.
Our mind must be consecrated as a priest. Esther didn't just wake up and walk to the king.
Right.
12 months.
Uh-huh.
6 months. With sweet odors.
Yes.
6 months with bitterness.
Yes.
Sorrows. With oil of myrrh. There was a dealing within her nature and person, before she could be presented.
Yes.
Unto Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God is calling the end time church to a place of atonement.
Yes.
See, on the day of atonement, you must begin to break up the soul. You must begin to do what? Afflict the soul. You must break up. You say you will not do any servile work. And I ask God, what is this servile work? He said it is feeding spirits. Giving life to spirits.
Yes.
To unclean. Those spirits that have lodged within us, we are feeding them. And they are growing big. Hallelujah. He says, on the day of atonement, it will no longer be permitted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, where we are now, you cannot feed this wrong spirit. If you have a wrong spirit, you must get it out.
Amen.
If you don't get it out, you are disqualified. You are going. He says, whosoever will not atone for his soul, what will happen to him? He shall be cut off.
Amen.
There is going to be a separation, brethren. I didn't say division. But there's going to be a separation. Hallelujah. He says, the sons of Zadok, put them aside. But the other ones that minister to the people. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Priesthood is by birth. You must be born of the flesh or born of the spirit before you can become a priest. Hallelujah. Priesthood is by birth. A child that is born in the natural must break through the matrix.
Yeah.
Is it not so? So if you are also going to be a priest in the spirit, you must break through the coverings of this spirit that cover the soul. If you don't break through, you cannot. You must break through the covering of carnality, covering of uncleanness, whether in the dimension of the mind or emotion, those coverings we must break through. If my mind is to be able to bring an offering to God, then it must break through the coverings over the mind. Because it says that Melchizedek is a priesthood without beginning, without the end. In other words, a priesthood of the spirit. Hallelujah. So the priesthood God is bringing has nothing to do with where you are born, who your father is, who your mother is, their circumstance of life, the color of your skin, what happened to you, whether you were abused when you were a child, or you grew up when you were a child, whether you went to school. All those are mundane issues. Hallelujah. Every man is going to be held responsible for his circumstances. You must determine what you will do with this priesthood. Even Jabez, he was born in bitterness and sorrow. What happened? He broke through. Hallelujah. So wherever you are coming from, whatever your situation is, God is going to hold you accountable. Priesthood is by birth. You must be born by the Spirit. To be born by the Spirit, you must break through the coverings over the soul. That is the Melchizedek priesthood. In fact, it is a priesthood of the firstborn. Hallelujah. The firstborn is the first child to break through, isn't it also? And the firstborn of God are going to be, well, we'll call it first fruits. That's really what you mean. First fruit company is not God by singing and dancing first fruits. You become first fruit company by breaking through something. You must overcome something. Hallelujah. To become first fruits. And guess when God will bring his firstborn? The firstborn of God was brought forth at midnight in Egypt. Hallelujah. God is not going to take us out of this world. God is not going to take you out of your circumstance. The problems you are having, the issues you are having, the challenges you are having. It's okay, oh God, when it changes, then I'm ready to serve you. No. In that situation, you must break through. Hallelujah. So my wife is not good. My husband is not good. My children are this. My job is this. Those are not the issues. The issues are that we must break through. God has a measurement, brethren. The soul must be oiled. Now, one of the basic components of tabernacles is oil. We know about the first one, Passover. We know about the second one, Pentecost. Now, the feast of tabernacle was, there are three major components. One was the harvest of the olive, the harvest of the vine, and then the harvest of the fig tree. Those three things. Now, and I'm just concerned about the harvest of the olive. It's from the olive. The olive said in Judges 9, "Will I leave my fatness and come and be king over you?" Hallelujah. It's feast of the fatness, the oiling, the anointing that comes on the soul. Now, the soul cannot be anointed unless it receives the life that comes by the Spirit. Yeah. Now, God said something to me. You know, we used to teach that the wise virgins had oil in the lamps, but didn't have oil in the vessels. Read your Bible again. The wise virgins had oil in the lamp and in their vessel. But there's breaking news. The foolish virgins didn't have any oil. The lamps were empty. Right. Hallelujah. And many of us, I'm very sorry, are backsliding. The oil is run dry. Our Christian life is dry. We don't hear from God. There's no quiet time. There's no sweetness of communion because the oil is dry. Hallelujah. And God says, I will bring a new baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And brethren, I believe that God is going to pour it out in this camp. Hallelujah. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Oil must come back to the vessel. How do you know that there's no fire? You know why? Because there's soot. Soot. Smoke. 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 And when there's smoke, what do you have? Tears. Right? A lot of fighting. A lot of sweat. A lot of carnality, rules and regulations, you know. Hallelujah. Because Eli has come in. Eli was dim. His vision was dim. He couldn't hear again. Hallelujah. He did, in fact, he couldn't even recognize the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what happens when the oil dries. Because he said that the lamp of the Lord had gone dim, gone out. Hallelujah. And brethren, this is what's happening to the end time church. Because we are staying too long in the place of bringing forth children. Hallelujah. We are not positioning ourselves properly to be able to function. So God is calling for repentance. I am in need of repentance. I need to pray for. I'm asking God, bring a new fire. Amen. He says, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Where is the fire, brethren? Where is the fire? Hallelujah. See, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes, it comes into the realm of the soul, of the spirit. The baptism must get to the soul. Because the soul is the priest. It's the soul that brings the offering to God. But for the oil to get into the realm of the soul, it must go through the barriers. The barriers, the veils must be broken. So God said to Abraham, you must come out of your nation. You must come out of your country, out of your tribe. There are coverings over my soul that are specific to my personality. Hallelujah. Now, how can I change when I'm not, well, how can I move forward when I'm not, when I don't have a mind and an attitude of change, of resurrection? That is, I'm coming to God and I'm not prepared to drop the things. That I should come with an open heart, and whatever God is touching, then I know that has to go. But if I come to God with a self-righteous attitude, then nothing can change. So we all with an open face, beholding the glory of our what? Our change. So as you come to God, there must be an attitude that I'm going to change. So if we came to this conference, then we must have an attitude that we are going to go out different people. Yes. Hallelujah. When we go back to our homes, our husbands will see a new wife. Our wives will see a new husband. We'll see a new priest at home. Hallelujah. Children will be changed. Hallelujah. The rebellion that we see will be judged. But you know what? The children are being troubled by the rebellion in our own hearts. Because we are rebel against God's standard. God called you to be his dwelling place. And we are rebel against God, so it's going to spill on onto the children. Hallelujah. So God is saying that there has to be a change. We must come to the place of atonement. We must begin to break up our fallow ground. We must begin to stop servile work. We must begin to, you know, cry unto God. And one more thing before I end. In Leviticus 25, it says, the land will not be sold forever. Hallelujah. Yes. That is Jubilee. So if a man has sold himself into slavery, he sold his land, he sold his property, he even sold himself. Hallelujah. Said on the day of Jubilee, when the trumpet begins to sound, that man is free to go home. Hallelujah. And God said, therefore, the land will not be sold forever. What is he saying? Yes, these spirits have lodged, they have taken advantage of us. They are ruling over us. You know, we are talking about, you know, besetting sins. There are natures, you know, people know you by. You say, well, that is me. But we say that it will not always be so. The prodigal son must find his way back. Hallelujah. And I feel God is bringing a word to his people. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to you that the land will not be sold forever. Hallelujah. It's possible for us to come home. He says every man will come back to his father's house. And when you come back, you will find the Lord waiting. He was standing up. He was speaking of a readiness. And just before I stood up, I could feel there was something that happened in this hall. there was a sweetness that came in. Hallelujah. I don't know if you notice.
Yes.
There was a sweetness. Hallelujah. I feel there's a visitation of God upon us. It's an opportunity for change. Hallelujah. There's a new wine that is bringing. Hallelujah. You know, so yes, we've had the old experience. We've seen all things that have happened. But I believe God is doing a new thing. He's bringing a new priest. He's bringing a new trumpet. He's, you know, there's something new that he's bringing. You know, yes, we have drank the old wine, but I think there is a new wine that's coming. A sweetness that's coming. There's going to be a priest that will stand. Now, God is saying to me, if you don't do it, others will. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't pay the price, another person will pay the price. See, two will be on the same bed. One is taken, and the other will be left. Hallelujah. So I think we're being called to make a choice. And the choice is to stop church. Hallelujah. It's to realize that the goalposts have changed. The goalposts have changed. The rules of the game have changed. God will no longer tolerate Old Testament. Where we don't bring to him. He say, give me your heart. Bring the inward parts. That is the sacrifice God wants. He says, thou will love the Lord thy God with all your heart. With all your soul. With all your mind. See, that is the first and the greatest commandment. Hallelujah. The question is, what are you giving to God? Have you given God our mind? Have we given God our emotions? Or they are just locked up? You know, somebody you are holding, you haven't forgiven the person. Maybe be your husband. Maybe your wife or your children or relations. You're just binding them. And for as long as you are holding them, you cannot be a priest. That's how serious it is. Because no offering that is torn by wild beasts will be accepted of the Lord. Either you have torn others or you are being torn. That completely puts you out. So I'm believing that God will help us, brethren, to come to a new experience. It's not that we don't know, but these are things that we have known, but somehow we have gone past. And God is saying we need to come back again. Let's come back again to the foundations. Let us consider these matters. To realize that God will have a people that must break through. He says, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. Between the mercy seat. And Bible says that when Moses was there, he heard the voice of God speaking to him out of the cherubims. The cherubim, they speak of a life that is selfless. That's just a summary. A selfless. There's nothing of self in it. See that ever you say holy, holy to God. It was a ministry to God completely. There was nothing held back. And that is the nature that will be a place of fellowship unto God. So I think I'm going to stop at this point and just pray that the Lord will help us to make a response. I believe that yesterday as we were praying, I began to see doors open. I believe that there are dimensions in the spirit that God is going to allow us to get in.
Yeah.
But brethren, there must be brokenness. Brokenness is something that the end time church has lost. Brokenness. Say a broken and a contrite heart. That will not. Brethren, there is worship and there is worship. The worship that comes from a broken heart, it releases oil. You can feel the oil of the Holy Ghost come upon your heart. And when it comes from a heart that is torn by wild beasts, you can feel the dryness. Hallelujah. Brethren, let's allow God to break us. So let there be brokenness, brethren. He said, let nothing be done in strife or vainglory. The meek and a quiet and a humble spirit. Hallelujah. That is the sacrifice that God is looking for. And I believe that as we begin to bring this right offering, things will happen. God will speak. There are lots of things that God will do, both at the individual and at the corporate level, that will equip us to be able to deal with the issues that are coming. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Brethren, this is not customary, but it is needful. And when a father speaks to the son, he requires a response. It is heart-wrenching to a father that he speaks to his son and he does not see right there and then. There's no connect. There's no connection. There's nothing in the child that gives the father hope that his child has heard and is making a change. The word of the Lord has come. Abarak started this meeting and he gave a word. In all that we have heard, between the first meeting, the first word, and now, there is one thing that is clear, and we need to respond to the Lord. There's a need for a change. Business cannot be as usual. And this is at an individual level. That's why I'm here, forgive me. But because it is a matter of individual. It is the individuals that make the church. There is no church except us, each of us. Creation cannot see Christ except as he manifests in us. I want to challenge us this morning not to let this moment pass us this evening. Let us take and respond to the Lord. If it means sitting here until you can convince yourself that the wave of the sweetness, as Abora concluded, that has come, the Spirit of God that has come, and God in his mercy that has sent his word to us in this locality at this time, has touched you, and you have moved, and you have begun to partake of the change. You will not live here. You can make that commitment to God. And let us be here, brethren. We have meetings to go, but the Lord is not in the business of just speaking and we go around this mountain. There is a commitment, and if you make a commitment to change, the change is here. If you commit to change, the change is here. Our brother said two will be on the bed. One is taken and the other is left. Who is taken on, who is left, I don't want to know. But there is a determination. There is something that makes one to be the taken and makes the other to be the one that stays. And that thing is here. The choice is ours tonight. I want to provoke us, brethren, that we will go into the Lord. Let us speak to the Lord tonight. Look not to anybody. Look unto Jesus tonight. Make a commitment. Ask for your change. The Father who has sent the word has brought the grace. The anointing is here. The ministry has gone forth. He gave the ministry for the equipping and for the perfecting of the saints. Brethren, it's our role as the saints to respond to the word of God. Let us go to God tonight. He will unite our heart to fear him. The Lord does not dwell in buildings made of hand. He dwells in the heart of men. Let us seek the Lord tonight. This is the temple. As this temple is healed, the body we break forth. I want us to pray tonight, brethren. Let us go to the Lord. Speak to the Lord in your heart. Pray in any way you know to. Call on the Father tonight. Let the word of God that has come by, let Jesus not pass you by tonight. The Lord could not speak unto us in other words, but he gave to us a word. He spake and he sent by his sons. He spake tonight to us. And as we go into this prayer, I just want to read one of the scriptures that I read again. Maybe that will help us. From the First John. And that scripture says, that which we have touched, that which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which you have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have held, concerning the word of life, that life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and we heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And he comes to this place. He said, this is the message which we have heard. And that was right here. From him. And declare to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Brethren, we have the blood of the Lamb tonight, but we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision to walk in the light. Let every darkness and everything that speaks of darkness, the word that came, has expounded to us the darkness that dwells in the soul of man. It has touched every bit of present experience, not in the by and by. Brethren, let us seek the Lord tonight. Can we pray to the Lord? Can we ask the Lord to meet us at this point of our need? Can we reject darkness and choose light? Can we come away, ask the Lord that we come away from allowing the evil spirits to habit our soul? Brethren, let us ask that our soul be delivered tonight. The Lord seeks to deliver this soul. Let us commit our soul. Let us commit our will, our emotion, our desire. Let us say that we turn them to God tonight. Let us forsake and reject everything that speaks of darkness. Let us reject everything that speaks of bickering. Let us reject everything that speaks of the ego and the failures of man. Everything that speaks of self tonight. Let us say that we reject it. Let us reject the spirit of self. Let us die to self. The message is preached again to us tonight, that which we heard in the beginning. Let us come out of Babylon. Let us die to self. Brethren, it is tonight there is a word. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And every man that stretches, there's a song that says, if we lift our hands, he will lift us up. Brethren, if you keep your hands down, the Lord can do nothing more. Say, if a man continues to walk in sin, what more can we do? Grace has been given, but there is an acknowledging. I don't know how else I can, but I have something in my spirit tonight, brethren, to urge us to go to the Lord in silence, in quietness, in shouting, whichever way it comes to you tonight. Do not let this moment pass us by. I will not. And I want the Lord, I believe, brethren, and the word is true, there is the presence of God. God does not come to condemn and just pass by. The Lord is here tonight to save. He did not send his Son to condemn. He sent his Son to save. The word that has come is not to bring condemnation just to us. It is that the Father's love is waiting for the prodigal son. The Father's love is waiting for the prodigal son that will return. Will you return tonight, beloved? Will you return to the Father? The Father is ever waiting for he that will return to him. Let us return to the Father tonight. Let us forsake every kingdom that we have built. Let us forsake every self that we have created, every image and every idol that we have created out of the vanity of our soul. Let us come away and let us return this temple to him that owns it. Let us ask the Lord to come and habit this temple. Let us ask our soul will partake indeed of that which is heavenly. Brethren, it is a settled word of God. If we have indeed partaken of that which is earthy, there is an assurance that he that willeth will partake of that which is heavenly. Will you ask tonight? Will you ask for that which is heavenly? Will you ask and yield your soul tonight, that even as Jesus is passing by, we will hold on to him tonight? Even as he said to Lazarus, come down. He said to Zacchaeus rather, come down, for this day salvation is come to your house. Brethren, there is salvation come to us tonight. Father, give us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to be quiet for a little bit, but I just want us to pray. Hallelujah. I want us to pray, and then the couple songs in my heart, and the Lord will do that which is will tonight. Let us go to the Lord, brethren. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, 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 Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When the Lord spoke to our brother, he said to him that he is a Sadducee. And he said to the church that we are Sadducees, because we halt between two opinions. Brethren, go to the Lord tonight. Let that word reverberate in your heart. Take it to the Lord and say, the Lord, where? How am I? Lord, how am I? I choose not to halt between two opinions. Let us say to the Lord that we want to be and we choose to be of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Say to the Lord by his word, return it to him that you will not be of them that draw back unto perdition. Hallelujah. He says, for Babylon is fallen. It has become the habitation of all evil spirits. Brethren, the word came and clearly. In case we did not know before, the Lord says Babylon is in our soul, is in our hearts. See tonight, check, go to the Lord. Is there any measure of mixture of Babylon or habitation of evil spirits, evil thoughts, wickedness that is in our heart? Brethren, tonight, the salvation of God is here. The Holy Spirit divine, the power, the anointing of the Lord is here tonight to deliver whosoever wills. Hallelujah. For that which the Father said in the beginning has not changed. He said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish. But brethren, it is should. It is should. You could choose to perish. Tonight we choose not to perish. Let us choose not to perish. Let us ask the Lord that our soul indeed be redeemed tonight, that our soul be saved afresh. Let us ask that that spirit which the Lord has sent, the promise of the baptism which he has spoken to us again tonight. Let us ask that that which we have received before is not sufficient. A song went forth tonight when we sung. Our brother, a word came, he said, let us not ask that we receive until we want no more. But let us ask that we receive and receive much more. Brethren, let us ask tonight that we might receive much more. The spirit of the Lord that is here. Ask the Lord that you might be filled, and you might be filled much more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
the burden of the word upon my heart here this afternoon. I believe I could speak for most, if not everyone here, that as the word was going forth, I felt the finger of God touching our souls to the degree that only the Spirit of God can do. The word says, deep calleth unto deep. And I just feel that let us unite in prayer and agree, because the two things that stand out to me most of all is change.
Amen.
Change and a broken and a contrite heart. God is speaking from the start of this conference, and I am confident He's going to continue to speak and move. Let us give way to the Holy Spirit. Let us give way and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, even as we come to the close of this meeting and as we go about our business in talking and sharing and preparing our hearts for the next meeting. But we want to give way to the preeminence of the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we come in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God. We thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have not forsaken us nor left us. We thank you, Lord, that you are calling us. You are reviving us. God, you're bringing oil to us, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you are giving us an opportunity to be part of the five wise virgins, O God. But God, we must buy that oil so that when midnight comes, we have the oil. Hallelujah. Not in our lamps, but in our vessels, O God. We want to have that oil. We want to be counted among those that are found worthy to enter in with you at midnight. So have your way with us, Lord. Do not leave us from this place of speaking to us, O God. God, continue to open up the areas of our lives, of our souls, that we would respond and that we would allow you to have free course in every aspect of our being, Father. We want you. We need you, God. We want change.
Amen.
Change us, O God. Change us. Deliver us. Deliver us of every propensity of earth, of Babylon. My God, in the name of Jesus, deliver us. Deliver me. Deliver my brethren. That, Father, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. God, we want our eyes fixed upon you. And, Father, we want to be in a place, Lord, that we have a broken and a contrite heart. God, we cannot do it in ourselves. We need your Spirit to speak and convict us of our place of where we stand, that we might bow our knees before the mighty hand of God. Help each one of us, we pray, Lord. Break every yoke, Lord. We continue to put into your hands this conference, that your Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. Let your Spirit be upon each man, woman and child, that we would find your grace to stand and to minister and to yield to the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.